Hey everybody, welcome to The Warfarin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 285, Power Rangers in Space, episode 35, Silence is Golden.
It aired November 6, 1998, is written by Judd Lynn and Jackie Marchand, and directed by Worth Keeter.
The Keats putting in his work. And joining us today to help us talk about this episode...
Keep going.
is our friend Danielle. Danielle, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you for coming by.
You're welcome.
Especially on pretty much a day's notice.
Well, I don't really have anything else going on right now, so it was easy.
Well, that works out for us. So, Danielle, we got a couple questions that we ask all of our guests when they come on the show. The first of which is, how did you get into Power Rangers?
I was born in 1989.
That'll do it. That's what happened to me.
Yep.
What an old man you guys are doing a podcast with, huh?
You're 3 years older.
Oh, God, don't remind me.
You're 3 to 4 years older. Yeah, that's exactly how I started, was I was born in 1989, and then...
Yeah, I was born in February of 1989, so I was precisely 4 years old when the show started.
Yeah.
So I was the target demographic.
Yeah, right.
And that was a time... My family didn't have money when I was growing up. I literally grew up in a trailer. So we had 3, 5, and 9, and on a really good day, you could get 24, which was PBS. And there were occasions when the moon was blue and Mercury was in retrograde when you could get 64, which was Fox Kids.
Yeah.
And I remember, I don't remember what channel it was on, but I remember being a little kid and watching Power Rangers, and my sister and I, like, running and jumping around the house, and I was pink and she was yellow. And I remember getting, like, one of those toy bow and arrows with, like, the foam arrows.
Nice.
And, like, the hole in the middle of the bow that you would thread the foam through so that you couldn't possibly fail at knocking it.
Right.
And just running around the house doing, like, Pink Ranger catchphrases.
Nice. That is pretty awesome. I had like, 3 friends. I don't know if we were friends yet. We would become friends later, but in kindergarten... I don't know if we were exactly friends, but we all somehow managed to pick different Power Rangers for Halloween, which was really good, because I would have had to kick any other Red Ranger out. I don't want to throw down with them.
I never got to be a Power Ranger for Halloween. My mom dressed my sister and I up as M&Ms.
Nice. That also was probably a pretty common Halloween costume around that time, because I was an M&M and my little brother was an M&M at one point.
See, I must be just outside of the M&M generation. I remember the commercials being a huge deal, but never enough that I was one for Halloween. I definitely was a Power Ranger, though.
I was totally a pumpkin at one point, because everyone dresses their baby up as a pumpkin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My favorite Halloween costume was Herman Munster.
You're pretty Herman Munster.
Yeah.
From like 5 onward, it was all fairy princesses.
Sweet. I think I was a Power Ranger 4 times in a row. I'm sure my mom, because my mom made all of our costumes, I'm sure she was sick of making Power Rangers costumes by the time I was over that.
For me, I was never a Power Ranger, but it wasn't so much because of like my mom not wanting her daughter to dress up as a Power Ranger, or there not being enough like Pink Ranger and Yellow Ranger costumes. It was all like Red Ranger, Black Ranger, Blue Ranger. But it was that all of the costumes had those like padded muscle interiors.
Yeah, the muscle
butts. Yeah, you gotta be ripped. Muscle
suits.
And all of the masks were like just front face masks rather than actual helmets.
Yeah.
And even as like a 5-year-old kid, I was like, that's not screen accurate.
I demand accuracy.
Oh no, I wore the crap out of that muscle suit and front mask.
I never had the muscle suit. We did have the front mask, but because my mom made the costume, so she didn't like stitch muscles in. It was just like a Power Ranger suit.
Weird that they put the muscles on him, because you know how jacked a Power Ranger is when you watch it on TV.
Well, one of them.
PJ.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, but even in the suit, he's not like busting out of it.
Yeah, it's like they're very lean and very clean lines, and I've always loved clean lines, and the muscle suits ruined that. So I was like, no, I'm not wearing that.
Yeah, you gotta have principles in your Halloween costumes.
Absolutely. So it was fairy princesses. Sparkly.
Nice. Second question is, what is your favorite season of Power Rangers?
This one.
Nice.
Power Rangers in space, always and forever.
I assume you watched it on TV when it aired, or did you come to it later?
I did watch it when it aired. That coincided perfectly with the first time that my family had satellite TV, and Power Rangers in space was part of my afternoon block. That was when I got back into Power Rangers, because I lived in a few places where I just couldn't get it. And I went to a cousin's house, and they had that channel, and I watched it, and Kimberly was gone, and I was very unhappy. Because it's one thing to watch Kat's introduction, where you get to know her and see how awesome she is, and it's a very different thing to be forced to stop watching the show for months on end, and then come back to it expecting everything that you knew and loved, and your favorite ranger is gone, and you have no idea why.
At that point, yeah, there would be just Tommy left, right, from the originals.
Or did you see Billy the changeover?
Okay, oh right, Billy was still there.
It was either a very late season 3 Mighty Morphin or some point in Zeo. I think it was season 3 because I would have remembered if it was the Zeo costumes, because I don't like the Zeo costumes.
You don't like the Zeo costumes? Why?
I love the circuit board look on the suits themselves, but I hate the helmets.
Is it the mouths?
Yes.
Yeah, I get it with the mouths. My least favorite part of those suits is actually the circuit board bits. I think it's too busy.
I like the circuit board. And I'm okay with the mouths. I just like Zeo a lot, so I'm willing to put up with whatever.
Yeah, so I stopped watching it. I missed all of Zeo and all of Turbo. And then we got Satellite, and I caught the last half of the last episode of Turbo, and then Power Rangers in Space started. And I sat down and watched it, and I didn't stop for the next several years. I watched every single season as it aired religiously until Jungle Fury.
Okay.
And I watched part of that, and then I just lost interest because I determined that the villains were more interesting than the heroes in that season, and the villains weren't that interesting.
Oh no! Oh no!
Cool.
That's favorite season.
That's my opinion, and most people love that season. So something about it just didn't click with me.
Didn't click for you.
And a lot of it, I think, was the fact that the Blue Ranger was really, really short, unmorphed, and the tallest of everybody when they were morphed, and there was never any explanation. You didn't get the Justin growing up animation.
Right.
And it was just super short dude, super tall dude, and we're not going to mention it.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's Matt Hoadley's favorite season is Jungle Fury. So now I've got an opinion from either side. So
I trust Matt Hoadley's opinion. And if you and he like similar things, you'll probably like it. I'm just kind of particular.
That's fair.
I did come back and watch Operation Overdrive, and I regretted that.
Yeah, I have not heard a good thing about that yet. So,
and then I watched RPM, and I love RPM so much. I'm actually convinced my boyfriend, who is very not at all whimsical, to watch Power Rangers RPM, and he's actively enjoying it.
Nice.
That's the one I'm probably the most afraid to watch. Because it has a lot of hype behind it to live up to, and I'm worried that what if I don't like it?
The first half is amazing. The second half has really good points, but it borrows a lot from Power Rangers in Space. That's also when Judd Lynn takes over for the original director, whose name I can't remember.
Oh, he comes back? I know he leaves after Time Force.
Yeah, Judd Lynn comes back. Judd Lynn is actually the driving force behind Neo Saban.
Okay.
After Samurai and Megaforce.
Okay, I was going to say, how did he would not have let Megaforce happen.
For Dino Charge.
Okay. Cool.
I know a lot about the post-Saban stuff. So, I keep on hearing you guys talk about stuff that you don't know and saying, oh, this is the only Power Ranger that ever. And I'm like, no, it's not.
It was, where we are, we could say it's the first. It's the only to us.
The only one.
But it's exciting because, I'm going to get to hear you guys reacting to all that stuff, in real time. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I'm very excited to see all that stuff because once Time Force is over, I haven't seen any of it. except for like three episodes of SPD that were pretty neat and some bad Megaforce. And so I'm very excited to dive into the Disney era. And our last question is, who is your favorite Power Ranger up through where we have watched in the show so far?
See, that used to be a really easy question. It was just Kimberly.
Okay.
But, I don't know. I really love Cassie.
Cassie is pretty boss.
And Andros was my first crush. Andros is my favorite Red Ranger. That's like okay. Automatic. I'm going to have to say Cassie. I really love her, like her whole style and her whole attitude.
Nice. That's a good choice. I like Cassie more and more pretty much every episode. Same thing with Ashley.
Maybe the Time Force is going to get really hard because I really like Trip.
Everybody in Time Force is the best, like, right? Ever. It's crazy. It's crazy how everyone is the best in that show.
Trip and Katie, man.
So good. So without any further ado, we're going to go watch Silence is Golden. Let's rock it!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Rangers in space!
And we're back! And we just watched Silence is Golden.
I very much like that episode.
It was pretty good.
That was a real good one.
I didn't remember that happened at the end when I requested this episode.
Really? The very end with the astronomer?
At the end of the giant fight.
Gotcha. Yeah, I didn't remember that at all.
Nope. I totally didn't remember that.
So before we get into it, morphingrid.tumblr.com is our website. So is heyjakeandjosh.com. That's where the archives are. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @morphingrid. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and Podknife. If you want to leave us a rating and review, that would be awesome. It helps out a bunch. And finally, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the show and you get some cool stuff in return, and we really appreciate it. So normally on Mondays, we'll do emails and tweets and stuff. I don't know if we have any. We might. We have a guest, though. That's more important.
Yep.
Yeah. I haven't sent fashion corners in a while, largely because Cassie mostly wears the uniform.
Yeah, as I say, it's a lot of the uniform. We do get, there will be a what was Cassie wearing in this one.
I did take notes.
Nice. I'm pretty sure I know what that top is called because of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but I might be wrong. Stay tuned.
If you're going to say what I think you're going to say, I can see how you'd think that.
Okay, now that we've properly teased it out, do you guys want to jump in? Because it happens right away.
Okay.
We start off with a big poster board with stickers of the Psycho Rangers.
The window stickers of evil.
Yeah, yes. they are like exactly window decals that you would have gotten from like a book in 1998. And they are like perfect production images of the Psycho Rangers, and Anders is crossing two of them out, so they just put it up.
With like a dying dry erase marker.
Yeah.
Like, who's their graphics designer? Because there's no way that they could have gotten a photograph of all of the Psycho Rangers standing in like perfect stillness in the exact same position.
Yeah. They
took a picture of one and just palette swapped it.
Yeah, palette swapped it a bunch of times.
Well, they would have had to take pictures of two.
No, the girl ones I think were the same.
Yeah, because when he crossed off pink, I thought it was red.
Yeah.
And really? I was like, wait, did we miss something? But then it was just pink.
Yeah, so I think they were just all the same, just re-skinned, which is actually pretty neat.
I'm glad that the psycho girls don't have like weird psycho skirts on.
Yeah.
That would be weird.
So he crosses them out and then he's like, all right, two down. And TJ's like, yeah, but that means, you know, there's only three left. And so we got the advantage. And I think it was Andrew. And at some point, Andrew says the calm before the storm. But before that, they were like, that might not be so much. It might not be so much of an advantage yet.
Even with three and then kind of like letting it hang like that.
Yeah. They're still Psycho Rangers. Like, one of them, when they grow, gives them a run for their money every time. So, like, it's not going to be a fun time getting three of them down.
Andros delivers a soundbite for the next time on segment of the last episode.
Oh, yeah. The calm before the storm.
Super tight close-up.
Yeah. So then we cut to Earth, where Cassie is shopping. And what was Cassie wearing? Now, let me take a shot at this, okay. And then you can correct when I'm probably half wrong. She's wearing ripped jeans,
mm-hmm.
and a pink halter top?
No.
Ah, dang it.
She's wearing a spaghetti strap tank top. It's got a pink floral bodice with a gathered bust and a white lace neckline and straps. A halter top goes behind the neck, and there's nothing in the back holding it up.
Okay.
It's kind of like an apron.
Oh, got
a shirt apron.
Yeah. When Buffy's in that scene and with the initiative, that's
exactly what I'm thinking of. Yes. Oh, my God.
I know exactly why he thought that, because... Yeah, that's what that looks like. But no, if it had been a halter top, the two spaghetti straps wouldn't have connected in the back. They would have connected behind her neck.
Okay. All right. That's Danielle, we are friends. We're friends now. Congratulations.
I'm actually super psyched about that.
That's amazing, because that's literally the scene I was thinking of, because she said, I've patrolled this halter many times. And I was like,
she's
I know
what
that
is. Similar updo, too.
She is. So... Ashley sneezes, and I goes, oh, allergies.
Cassie sneezes.
I do this all the time. Cassie sneezes.
Well, that's okay. That's an allusion to maybe the weirdest part of this episode.
Sure.
Well, it might be an Ashley curse, because my sister's name is Ashley, and my mother constantly gets our names wrong.
Okay. So
well, that's a mom thing, because my mom will call me and my brother either each other's names, or any one of us could be the cat. So... Not the cat. She would say Cass,
which is the cat's name. Soda.
But she has just three names in her head, and just any one of them could come out, no matter who she's talking to.
It's a cat's name.
She does yell at Cass a lot. He gets into a lot of stuff.
My mom also gets me and my little brother Scoot mixed up, and especially if we're not in the same room, because according to her and everyone in my family and nobody else, we have the same voice, which is wrong. We don't. But our parents can't tell us apart, so that's comforting. So Cassie has allergies, and she sneezes. And don't worry, this won't come up again. This is not part of the episode.
It kind of does.
It does get faked out.
Did I miss something?
No. No, but yes.
Okay. All right, we'll move on. And when it maybe comes back up, tell me?
Okay.
Okay. So... We cut to the psychos who are on the Dark Fortress. They are running voice recognition on some of the Power Rangers. I assume they have all of them in there, but they only show like three, I think. And it's just them saying, you know, each other's real human names in public as Power Rangers.
Well, yeah, as a Power Ranger is wont to do.
Yeah.
No, I think those bits of footage are taken from any of the number of times they run a quarry.
Right. So by and large, empty. So they thought they were safe, but they weren't, because the psychos apparently are also camcorders.
I mean, they've got tons of tech.
That is true. Apparently, now they'll have their voices on file, and if they hear them, they can just, like, fly to them. So they're like, all right, let's go destroy the Power Rangers. Astronema comes in, and she's like, hey, no, I want them brought here. And I think Red's about to give her lip, but that never goes well for
them.
I think
it's Yellow again. Yellow's the most talk-backy of
I think that's at
the three
end.
Of them.
I'm not sure. I think at the end it was Yellow, but
oh,
I think
no, maybe.
Right here
Yellow
it was
the
red.
Walking exposition dump.
Pretty much. So she's like, if you hear them, you can descend on them like flies and grab them and bring them back.
Astronomer's soaring opinion of the psychos.
Yeah. She knows they're not going to win, but she just needs them to die.
That's
like,
kind
later.
Of her plan.
Yeah. So then the psychos leave, and Clippy says, shouldn't we just let him destroy the Power Rangers? And she's like, no, because every time they fight, they drain Dark Spectre's energy. And he's like, I don't know, it seems like a big hassle.
But then Astronema, we get a tight close-up on her face, and she's just like, well, nobody said it was going to be easy. Like, she totally expected to have to go through the challenge of fighting and not killing the Power Rangers.
Yeah, but, like, she has this smirk when she said it, where, like...
Yeah.
You can almost imagine her finishing the sentence with just very, very fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because she's like, we're definitely killing Dark Spectre, and it's going to be great. And at the end, there's like a little bit that I also very much enjoy between her and Dark Spectre. So then we cut to the theme song, and when we come back, the psychos teleport to Earth, and they turn into three Monster of the Week human forms from Charmed.
See, I named them Buffy Extra, Top Ramen, and Marco from Animorphs.
Okay, well,
it's a girl and a boy. They look fine. And then it's like young Psycho Sid.
this dude, Josh, have either of you ever seen Charmed?
No.
Yes.
Okay. It looks like if the guy who played Balthazar, not Julian McMahon, but like the demon form Balthazar, like if he took his makeup off and had ramen hair, it would be this dude.
I can't deal with this dude.
He's so much older than the other two.
And the other two are like, you know, cute girl, handsome boy, and this guy.
Like, it's like Justin Timberlake's hair from 2001, except no.
Yeah, if he fed it some Miracle-Grow and just let it go wild.
He's such a stark contrast because the other two are so like manicured and his hair is all over the... Yeah, but the other two are psychos in like a dapper way.
Yeah.
But don't worry, he does get upstaged.
And then he kind of has the best moment in the fight scene later. They start wandering around. By the way, this is still Angel Grove. We haven't moved on yet, which we will at some point, but this is still Angel Grove, still Southern California. They are dressed in black pants and leather jackets. They must be boiling.
Well, the actors are. It's probably like just a hologram.
Yeah.
Whatever's inside those suits isn't really feeling it.
I just feel bad for those actors, because every time you get a crowd shot, everybody is in short sleeves and like, you know, jeans or shorts, and then there's these people in like complete leather outfits. It looks very uncomfortable.
They call cut and they all run and dunk their heads into an ice bucket.
Oh, yeah. They just like run into an air-conditioned room and just stand there for 20 minutes. Ashley is on the payphone. This is going to be important for two reasons. we'll get to both in due course. But she's on a payphone. She's talking to, I'm assuming, her mom about her dad's birthday. She's got to get him a present. She doesn't know what to get him. She's like, no, I can't get him another tie.
Well, she says, I went to the hardware store. What do I know? And I wrote in all caps, you fix cars, Ashley. Right?
That is what Jake yelled at her.
I said the same thing. There was multiple episodes where she was just fixing cars left and right.
Like they went through the entire arc of her not knowing the first thing about, you know, anything to do with cars or tools or anything, to being the one that they call when the cars need to be fixed.
Yeah. And then now, well, what do I know? Kind of a lot, actually. The Psycho Rangers are on a balcony and they hear Ashley.
Well, first they hear some really bizarre ADR.
I didn't pay attention to it.
There were like some like over the top Valley Girl accents going on. And
oh, of course.
Something about gold shoes.
You gotta get your gold shoes. You guys don't have gold shoes?
I have 6-7 pairs of gold shoes. What do you think all the Patreon money goes to?
But it was like this incredulous gold shoes? Yeah, whoever was doing ADR for that scene was having fun.
Yeah, they were given no direction, I guess. They're just like, just talk for a little
say
while.
Say some lines.
You're at the mall.
Gold shoes.
So then they see Ashley from behind, and we get like a Sentai shot of like the scan, and it like goes into a payphone, which is why she was in a payphone, and like it scanned her from behind. It's like Yellow Ranger. And so they are like, all right, let's go. And then I think it's the Black Ranger is like, well, hold on a minute. And Yell's like, no. And then just goes.
Yeah. Then keep up with me because I'm not waiting. She was pretty badass.
I like Yellow.
Sorry.
A lot.
Sorry, buddy stones.
Sorry, sometimes I bleep ass, sometimes I don't. It depends on what I'm feeling.
Yellow's definitely like the runaway MVP of the Psycho Rangers.
For sure.
Just because would not expect the yellow one just to be the Starscream, but she definitely is.
So then they run up to Ashley in the payphone, and they rip the payphone open, and they pull her around, and this woman starts screaming because it's not Ashley.
But
it's just
what are
a woman-
the odds?
Right.
What are the odds that not Ashley would go into the payphone after Ashley wearing the same clothes
and
as Ashley?
With the same half ponytail.
Yeah, and like...
And exact same yellow ponytail holder.
Yeah, it like it's she's identical, which I guess it just must have been in this season. And but when when they're like arguing amongst themselves and strangling this girl, Cassie hears screaming and is like, what's that?
That was Ashley.
That's what I meant to say. Dang it, Ashley.
Here's the thing. Can we just bring this up now? Because this is bugging the crap out
okay.
of me. Ashley and Cassie both went to the mall today, but they went by themselves.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
It makes total sense.
Maybe if there was a precedent.
They're teenage girls in California in 1998. They go to the mall. It's what
but,
they do.
But they're not in California. They're in space. And they always do this stuff together because two episodes ago, they were best friends.
Yeah, they weren't here together.
Being a girl and having been a teenage girl, I can tell you that it is not unusual to run into your friend at the mall who had gone there
on
their
own. Do you live with that friend?
I don't know. It just feels weird to me. Or they were together and she's like, hey, I got to call my mom. And Cassie's like, okay, I'll go shopping.
Cassie's like, I got to go get the gold shoes.
And then the Psycho Rangers attacked and she ditched Cassie. Well, no, that doesn't make sense because later she's like, we don't know where she is.
Yeah, because she didn't know she was there.
So they just, okay, so they both are like, oh, I got a thing I got to do. And they just had to do the same thing, but just didn't mention it to each other.
Yeah,
I guess.
That part is weird.
Yeah. I know why they did it.
Like, you tell your girlfriend you're going to the mall.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, like, I know story-wise, I think why they did it is because one of them had to be down there, and then one of them had to get the information back to the ship.
Right.
But, like, I don't know. It just feels really weird to me that they're just by themselves.
You know how Power Rangers does their plots sometimes. One of the psychos is like, she must have stepped away. And then Yellow is like, are you kidding me? Like, you're the one who said it was her. And I like that she just stepped away. Just a very casual step. And then the woman's like, can you please stop strangling me?
This is where I said exposition Yellow. Because it's when Yellow, like, flat out says what they're doing very, very loudly in a place where they know there was a Power Ranger moment.
Right. I mean, maybe she... Well, we've kind of seen that, like, she likes the sport of it, you know. She likes the chase of catching a Power Ranger. Maybe this is too easy. She's like, oh, if I give him some info, maybe I'll give him a sporting chance.
I like that idea.
So, the most dangerous game, Power Rangers.
Yeah. So we cut to the Astro Mega ship where the boys are fixing the guns. They got the guns out on the table and they're just like,
maybe it's like that thing in basic training where you have to, like, disassemble and reassemble your gun in a certain amount of time.
Yeah, you have 15 seconds to field strip your gun.
Because they do have, like, three different modes, right? There's like, a gun form, a smaller gun form, and, like, a sword form? Or is that a different season?
There's no
was
sword
Was that Turbo?
Form. That was Turbo? Well, it was Mighty Morphin. They had two separate ones in
but
Zeo.
But I feel like... Maybe it's Zeo that I'm thinking. I feel like one of them, the bigger gun, like, spits out a baby version.
Yeah, it spits out a tiny gun, and then so they have two guns, and that tiny gun might have a blade on it.
I don't know.
A switchblade.
They don't pay a lot of attention to the weapons and the Zord fights. I'm really bad at that.
I dip in and out on the Zord fights sometimes. They have to do something special right away to catch my attention.
The weapons I notice every time because they don't use them super often. Not the holster weapons, but, like, the big weapons.
Yeah, this sword fight caught my attention.
There's a very cool Carlos thing in the morphed fight later.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So they're fixing up their guns and stuff, and then Ashley runs in. She's all out of breath. She did take the time to change it to her uniform. And which
maybe
might just
it's
be
like
a function
with the chutes, like the chutes automatically morph them. Maybe like whatever they do to get into the ship automatically uniforms them.
Yeah, they ride a Batman pole back up.
Yeah, and that just puts them in their uniform. That must be real convenient if you don't want to get dressed. Just like I'll just jump in the chute and back.
At least it's not some transformations where it changes your hair because that would be really irritating. Like, you spend a long time getting this hairstyle right, and then you do your transformation sequence, and your hair is completely different. It's like, why do I even bother?
Right, yeah, but, like, with in Zeo with Kat, it just, like, pulls it all up, like, in the tightest bun that it can form. She tells them what's up, and then she's like, Cassie's still down on Earth somewhere, and because she didn't know she was at the mall, too.
But she knows she's on Earth.
Well, because she's not on the ship, so she has to be on Earth.
I guess that's true.
So... I think it's TJ goes to call her, and she's like, no, you can't call her, because they know our voices, and that's how they tracked me.
She was so frantic in this scene. She's like, that's how they found me. They tracked my voice. And it was, like, almost tripping over her words.
Yeah, she, like, seemed, like, legitimately afraid of, of what the psychos could do, which is like some real nice acting.
Especially if they just corner one of you in public like that.
Yeah.
At first I was kind of like confused why they hadn't tried this sooner. And then I realized that before they just kind of took for granted that they could brute force their way through the Rangers, and it took them losing, what is it, two of theirs at this point? Yeah, two.
Yeah.
For them to realize that they have to start thinking strategic about it. And like, this is step one on the whole strategic approach.
Yeah, because they finally start fighting as a team in this episode, and it's like devastating. It does some serious damage. Anders is like, okay, I think I know how to get a hold of her. And so he pages her.
On the moment that makes you really appreciate text messaging.
Right? Oh, yeah. Man, this could not happen today. It would just be like, hey, psychos have our voices. Don't talk. Come back.
Yeah. The message on this thing cracked me up.
Yeah, I wrote it down.
Yeah.
It is... don't talk, call us.
Yeah.
Well, okay, hold on.
Like, and it works out.
It works out when she does it, because she runs to the phone booth and calls the number, and Andros, they do this in a weird way, because Alpha has to tap into the phone system to be on the other end of the number that Cassie calls, when I think it would have been easier to just call that phone booth.
Alpha is a CIA, confirmed.
Yeah, right? Because he's like, I hacked the phones, I'm in.
All right, that is true. They didn't know that she was there.
Yeah, because they had to find out using...
And it was just a page, sonar. So she could not text them back.
Yeah. What an inconvenient time the 1990s were.
So I guess this is the only way this would work.
What emoji would you put with that text?
I'm not an emoji guy.
The happy face, but with an X for a mouth.
Oh, that's a good one. I would send a GIF. I don't know of what, though. I have a lot, but
someone doing the zip.
Oh, I have a GIF of Wendy doing that from Gravity Falls. So I would probably send that. So Anders is like, she calls, and Anders is like, Cassie, don't talk. And it's a good thing that he jumped on it, or else she would say like, what's up? And then that would, you know, be bad. He explains the whole deal to her, and then she leaves, and she's all frantic, and she just leaves her stuff that she bought.
It's really weird, because he explains it, and he's like, tap the receiver if you understand. And the way she taps the receiver is like someone on the other line had kidnapped her younger sister. It's like, tap if you understand the negotiation, or whatever.
I like that. That was like actually pretty smart.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be surprised, but I kind of am that they had this like neat trick. So she leaves, and she's like looking around all frantic. And this is like a pretty great sequence from here for, I guess, like the remainder of the episode up until the morph stuff. So she is like looking around, and some guy dressed like the psychos, but not the psychos, comes up. He's like, hey, you forgot this.
Almost looks like Psycho Black, has similar hair,
but much shorter and not 50 years old.
Yeah.
Josh, how would you rate this wig?
Where's the wig going?
One
list?
Above the purple shitty wig.
God, Josh! The purple shitty wig's not that bad. Where do you land on the purple wig?
I don't hate it, because it is like the first wig that I think of when I think Astronema. But it's not a good wig.
Okay, that's very diplomatic of you. How do you feel about the red wig?
I love the red wig.
So do I. It's a very good one. And it doesn't look as... It looked like not great in the second episode she wore it, and then it seems better now.
They fixed the bangs.
Yeah. Because the bangs were like...
They might have gotten the exact same red bob wig and like done it better this time. Because I can definitely see that being something that hair and makeup would get really like antsy about. Like, no, it's not good.
Okay. Yeah, like in the first episode, it was good, and then the second one, when she was like cyborged, I think they just like cut it in a way to like show off the Bluetooth headset thing.
Yeah, they were like and probably then, in a rush or something, and then they're like, "Oh, but I could do it better. You're just gonna take that."
Yeah. All right. Well,
yeah, because they
get another one.
They spend like 45 minutes putting this thing on her face, and then put the wig on, and it covers it up. So they're like, "No, just get rid of these bangs."
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like something that production would have done.
Oh, absolutely. That is absolutely like a
the
on
war between
the day.
Oh, yeah. Shooky Levy himself just cut the bangs real quick before they started rolling.
It's like the director for that episode.
Who was that?
Oh.
That was Judd Lynn, I think.
Either Judd Lynn or Worth Keeter. Those are your safe bets.
He made some really bad decisions in Turbo. I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, I mean, look, mistakes were made in Turbo, but we got the jacket episode. So
and we kind of yeah. got in space out of it,
and the pizza episode. The pizza episode that got called back to in Forever Red.
Yeah, the pizza one does get a callback, doesn't it?
Yeah, and like everyone reacts to it like they'd already heard it a million times before.
Oh, you know it all the Power Ranger like holiday get-togethers.
When TJ does some awesome stuff in like every episode of In Space, and that's the story that he tells all the other Rangers about until they're sick of it.
I mean, I feel like that's his like. You can't one up getting put in a pizza. You know, like,
that is literally how that conversation went. How often are Red Rangers trying to one up each other?
Yeah, exactly. So this guy gives her back her bag. She's like, "Hey, you forgot this," and she takes them and she goes to say something, but she's like, "Oh, I can't." And she has this like nod. She's
this is really weird, like bow nod.
Yeah, it was very courtly.
And he like accepts it because he's like, yeah, sure, that's a human response.
He kind of does it back a little bit.
I like this guy. He looks like a
bad,
Dave.
Bad wig.
Yeah, and Dave and his terrible wig, and I like Dave. So then she turns around, she starts walking away, and she bumps into this older guy, and he turns around and is like, hey, excuse me. And she's like, turns around. She's like, I think you owe me an apology.
This is a part where I'm like, Cassie, The Little Mermaid has been out for 10 years. Everybody knows when you don't have a voice, you do the little throat pat.
Right. Yeah. That's what I thought. She was like, oh, can't talk. But like, instead, she finds different ways around it. So she goes and gets him a little flower and she gives it to him and then pats him on the shoulder and goes on her
flower
business.
From 2 feet away.
Yeah.
Out of mulch.
And he eats it right up. He smells the flower. He's like, oh, yeah, this is very nice. What a nice girl.
I like this flower.
She is like the little shoulder pat.
Yeah. Then we cut to the Rangers who are like.
By the way, this is when the allergy thing happens again.
Is it? Okay. What?
Yeah, she starts to sneeze and catches herself. It's like
that's
a fake
it.
Out.
She walks a little bit.
Like, you goes, think this is what's going to get them to hear her voice, but it's not. It's instead something way worse.
Yeah. I wish I would have. I was taking notes, I guess, because I did not notice this. So I actually am okay with this sneeze fake out, especially if, I mean, like, they are technically upping the ante on the stakes next, even though it is kind of like.
Yeah, I like
really
it.
Trite.
Like, she's able to, like, deal with it, and it's not this ridiculous, stupid, like, incidental thing that catches her because she's better than that. But the thing that actually does get her is annoying.
Yeah, it's like a 1980s movie, like really...
or a Power Rangers ninja encounter.
Yeah, oh that did.
Yeah, remember when half the episode was Adam, Aisha, and Rocky chasing a baby down a hill?
They did do
for
a
like
lot of
9 hours.
A lot of aggressive inlining in that episode.
Because I guess Angel Grove Park is all on a hill.
Well, this one is.
This one of 18 parks.
Yeah, one of their many parts is a slope. It's just for rollerblading. So we cut back to the Power Rangers, and they are trying to figure out where she is, and Andrew's like, oh, I thought I heard a bell, and Ashley's like, oh, she must be at the mall then, where Ashley just was. This is when I was like, wait a minute, what?
I just feel like with everything going on with the psychos and everything, even if you didn't go together, if Cassie was like, hey, I'm going to the mall, she went, and Ashley decided a little later, I need to go to the mall too. That's fine. I just feel like don't go off on your own when the Psycho Rangers are out.
At least tell people where you're going
to
be.
To be fair, they did know they could take human form because the quote unquote old lady in,
from a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
See, that Ashley totally fell for.
Can I just point out that the whole like high five between Ashley and Alpha was super adorable?
It was, yeah. When they figured it out, they're like, yeah. We cut back to the mall with Cassie, and she's like, I guess in the home stretch. I don't know how Ashley got out of there so quick, but Cassie's taken forever.
I don't know why she doesn't just teleport. It doesn't make the noise when you do that. And also, they've been using their communicators since the psychos registered them.
Well, but now they're actively looking for them. They stopped for a little while after they got pranked, and now they're looking for them again. So they're like on the call, I think. So... she sees a baby carriage.
There's always a baby carriage.
There's always a baby carriage. And it's slowly rolling backwards.
It's on level ground and it just starts going?
Also, there's a flight of stairs.
Also, hey, this baby's mom, maybe keep a hand on your baby stroller when it's next to some stairs. That's, I feel like, in the first chapter of Parenting 101. Yeah. Don't let your baby fall downstairs.
And it's like a style of baby carriage that hasn't been popular since like 1952.
Yeah. It's like one of those like very expensive. You probably don't watch Riverdale. Do you watch Riverdale, Danielle?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, there's a scene in Riverdale. I won't spoil anything, but the richest family in town gives someone a present of a baby carriage like this, and it's the most expensive baby carriage there is. And like, that's the only circumstance in which this kind of baby carriage would come about nowadays.
Yeah. Rich, out of touch people are like, here's a gift.
Old money.
Except it somehow managed to look like it cost about $15.
Yeah, well, it was, you know, well, this wasn't used.
This wasn't the most expensive baby carriage.
They got this at a thrift shop.
Yeah. They're like, we need your cheapest baby carriage. Like, there's like that gross one in the corner. We'll take it.
It's refurbished from 1937.
So they, she takes about a year and a half to decide whether or not she wants to let this baby die. She's a Power Ranger. She's very physically fit and has superpowers. She probably could have made it to stop the baby herself, but instead takes a solid minute to weigh the options and then goes, look out.
Yeah, the scene was bad, but that scream was awesome.
It was so good. It was like, and I don't want to disparage, you know, the acting abilities of any Power Rangers, because a lot of them are actually very good. This was like real acting.
Yeah, like she sounded desperate.
Yeah, it was great.
Like her voice was cracking and it was like raspy and like it was like a panic scream. It was so good. I wrote my notes. Good job, Patricia.
Yeah.
Well, even before that, she's doing a lot of good facial acting because she can't speak for the last like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's literally why I requested this episode, because I think it shows off Patricia Jolly's acting like the best of any Cassie Spotlight episode.
It's really good. Certainly way better than the dog episode. Yeah. So then the psychos see her and she shuts her mouth and like, you know, closes her hand over it, and starts walking away. And the psychos like catch up to her and they like corner her in like this abandoned alley in the mall.
They milked this shooting location for all it was worth. They're like shooting in the basement, the parking garage, around back where the giant air conditioners are.
Yeah. Yeah, they are getting their money's worth. They paid their $25. They're going to use it. So they like surround her and they're like, oh, what's up, Pink Ranger? We're going to kill you now. And she's not saying anything because that would like confirm it. So she's like, still, you can see her trying to figure a way out, even though it doesn't look like there is one. And then from nowhere, really, a clown runs up and is like, yeah, I'm a clown. And then he looks Cassie right in the face, takes his sunglasses, his giant oversized sunglasses down, and honks his nose. I'm like, oh, it's Zen. Cool.
This leads to something I missed what happened.
All I know is it was like a 10 out of 10 amazing acting job for Cassie's scream and a 0 out of 10 for Mr. Nimmo's clowning.
Yeah, clowning is pretty subpar.
He said sweets for the sweet at one point.
Yeah.
Yep, just full. We're going total 1930s this episode. Yeah. So he clowns down the parking garage and around the corner, and then we hear Cassie's voice come from down there. How?
From the where they were all blue. They were like, oh, it's so easy to trick them.
Was there a tape recorder?
No, but that's me headcanning, because the only thing that makes sense is that.
Okay.
Danielle, do you have any reason for this?
I mean, there's a shot of Zane riding away with the little boombox on the back of his bike.
Did he have a boombox?
Yeah, he had a boombox.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't see that. Okay, yeah. Otherwise, I'm thinking Zane does a killer Cassie impression.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think is that when they all spray painted themselves blue to trick Psycho Blue, that's when they were like, oh, they were so easy to trick.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, where did Zane get this voice clip of Cassie?
I don't know. Why was he a clown?
Because he could wear big sunglasses.
Is that the only disguise he could think of on short? Gotta be a cloud.
Gotta be a cloud. Hey, guys. You know how I had this clown suit and we didn't know what to do with it yet?
Before he was a Power
Ranger.
Also,
how did he morph silently?
That's the real mystery here.
Well, I don't see. Here's the thing about this, too, is because at one point when they're scanning voices, there's definitely a silver on the like list of them in the corner. But he yells, hey, come get me.
Well, he talked to them when he was
just
a clown.
Talked to him and they didn't pick up on it. So I don't think he did morph silently. I think when he was like, hey, come get me, he just morphed onto his bike.
I guess.
Because he's like, I can drive away and you can't catch me.
I guess. I don't know. So he, like, back to what happens is he goes around the corner and then they hear Cassie and she's like, oh, that's the Pink Ranger. This can't be her. So they run away and they go around the corner and there's a clown skin. Like, he shed his clown skin and then he's driving away on his bike and he has a little boombox on the back.
Oh, speaking of bad wigs.
The clown wig?
Oh, yeah.
It was enormous.
It was pretty bad.
That's the only wig I think that might be below the purple wig.
So then the others come up behind Cassie and like grab her on the shoulder and she turns around and they're like, shh.
And then they all talk.
I think then we cut to Zane driving away and the psychos chasing him and then they morph back into psychos and they like run away. And so like, good, now they're distracted. Let's talk. And they basically just like, they all hug. He's like, oh, I'm so happy to see you guys. And Carlos is like, oh, I'm amazed you could stay quiet for that long. And she like squares up to punch him.
Shut up, Carlos.
This was a really great friendship moment between all of them.
Yeah.
And I just love how excited Cassie was to see them.
It was really good. Then the weirdest thing to me in the episode happens because they're like, oh, and they do a big group hug. And then we smash cut to all five of them morphed in the Psycho Ranger's way. Like just standing in their way morphed. And like, we didn't get a morph sequence. We didn't get a Let's Rocket call. We didn't get like anything. It was just like, all right, we don't know how to get them over there. So we're just going to cut right now.
We're just going to put them there.
To there. Then they do a like season one like lineup thing where they all say like power red, power black, power blue.
That's weird, right?
They've never done this.
It's not the lineup part that's weird to me because that is a Power Rangers thing.
I did like Cassie hitting that Sailor Moon pose on Power Pink.
Yeah, but like a phone.
And like, this is probably in every Sentai episode, the sequence. They just haven't really used it until now. My problem is that they call themselves Power Red and Power Blue.
Yeah. That didn't feel good to me.
I feel like it's a countered, like, you're Psycho Red, I am Power Red. You're the Psycho Rangers, we are the Power Rangers. But it's just like,
Well,
it would have landed better if the Psycho Rangers had done like Psycho Yellow, Psycho Black, Psycho Red before that, and it was
right.
Bonding to something. It wouldn't have been good, but it would have been better.
Yeah, and it's weird because this is way before we adopted the like the nomenclature of how we refer to them. You know,
Red Space Ranger,
like space in Space Red, Galaxy Red, yeah. Turbo, you know, all that, like. This is way before, at least as far as I know, because like the internet was like a wee lad at the time, and I don't know what the Power Rangers online community was.
I like how in the first seasons, though, we still say Mighty Morphin. We don't like shorten it to Morphin or anything. It's always Mighty Morphin, or it's just like Red Ranger, and everyone knows that's who you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, when you get it right, you get it right.
Yeah, very few phrases are as just satisfying to say as Mighty Morphin.
Yeah, which is maybe one of my biggest gripes about the Power Rangers movie is that it's just Power Rangers. just default Power Rangers.
My biggest gripe is Kimberly saying serves you right when all that stuff falls on that girl's car.
She was in the wrong the whole time?
Right! Yeah. Like, serves her right for what? for your revenge porn that you sent out? No,
yeah, that's,
Kim!
That's totally what a hero does, Kimberly.
Yeah. No, bad Kimberly!
It also really irritates me that like they made Kimberly into a cheerleader. Like, because I knew they were going to, and I didn't want them to, and I dreaded it, but they did it anyway.
I thought they could have done a really good job. They would have kept her a gymnast and just had her be, like, super driven and super focused.
Right?
Because, like, that's how gymnasts are.
And like, gymnasts are cutthroat. They could have had that whole like Mean Girls plot without the revenge porn aspect, because gymnasts are mean.
Yeah, right. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen like Make It or Break It or the movie Stick It, but it's all about gymnasts, and like, there's always like the ones that will like destroy you to get ahead. And like, it would have made perfect sense, but they're like, no, a cheerleader.
It's like how like Kimberly wasn't a cheerleader. She was a gymnast, which was like the Kimberly thing. And it just sticks with me that if you're going to change everything about the characters, why keep the names?
Yeah. I mean, the easy
brand recognition,
branding and marketing. But moving on from the Power Rangers movie, because I can talk about it forever, the rest of my life, probably.
I would be complaining, but I could talk about it for...
Yeah, it wouldn't all be positive. So then they fight the psychos, and there's like a lot of team moves, because they're basically at a 2-to-1 advantage, which allows for some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, like, it really looked like they were ganging up on the Psycho Rangers. It was a complete reversal from last episode.
Yeah, it was pretty great. And then
the beginning of last episode where they just totally humiliated the Rangers.
Yeah, they got dunked on. Who is it? It's Silver, Black, and Red, and the other three jump over them, and they like push their feet with their hands, and they like shoot them in the air, and when they land, the others jump off their shoulders and do like a slash or stab attack.
Yeah.
And it's like this really like cool fluid like Power Rangers moves.
Before that, when they're in like the individual, I'd say individual, the 2-on-1 as opposed to the 6-on-3 fight portion.
Yeah.
Carlos is doing some real sweet moves with his Lunar Lance.
Was he?
It's a blink and you miss it thing, but at one point he's got it like behind his head. He's holding it out with both hands and he just like swings it around. He catches somebody's hand with it and just like swings back the other end.
Oh, nice.
It's awesome.
After this team move, they are wounded enough that their shells break, I guess. Because their monster forms pop out, and they're not grown, but they are just there as their like elemental monster forms.
I recognize Psycho Red. Like, that suit looks really familiar, but none of the other ones do. And I'm kind of wondering if they use that suit again in a later season, and I just can't remember.
It's a really good suit, so I wouldn't blame them for doing that. I also remembered Psycho Red, and I remembered the vague shape of yellow. I did not remember that this is what Psycho Black looked like.
I remembered Psycho Black probably the most of the five of them, actually.
Psycho Black looks like Graveler.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. He looks like... Did you guys ever watch Monster Rancher?
I didn't watch Monster Rancher.
Do you remember the big Gollum guy? I think his name was just Gollum, but he was like...
I remember that I watched Monster Rancher. I don't remember anything about Monster Rancher.
He was like a big rock man, and he looked like Psycho Black.
Well, it does remind me. They've got Huntic up on Netflix now. I'm really psyched about that.
I have never seen that.
Have you ever heard of Winx Club?
Yes.
It's by that same Italian showrunner, Ennio Straffi.
Okay.
But it's a co-production with the U.S., so, like, the production and everything is Italian, but the script writing and voice acting was done in the U.S., so it's all in English.
Nice. I've seen it online because I watch a lot of Power Rangers on Netflix, and so they think I'm a 7-year-old boy, which is fair.
Well, wait, let me see what my Netflix has. It's currently I'm watching Gem and the Holograms.
That's a good show.
But, like, my recommendations are... My Little Pony, Miraculous Ladybug, Mako Mermaids, Barbie Life in the Dream House, something called Mia and Me, and Strawberry Shortcake.
I get Strawberry Shortcake a lot, which is weird because on the Netflix account that I use now, I have not watched My Little Pony. On my last one, that was like the only thing I'd watched for a while, was like the first three seasons of Friendship is Magic. And it was like, hey, you're a little girl. Here's all the little girl shows. And I was like, yeah, some of these seem pretty cool. So we go to commercial and we come back and all the psychos are like, hey, you've messed up now and we're going to grow and destroy you. So they grow. And then they do the Zord call, and they get in the Zords, and it's just the one, it's just Mega Voyager for a little while. It's like, hey, Zane, where'd you go? Like, did you have to walk to where he's kept the Mega Winger?
He's still driving his motorcycle. He's just going like, yeah, come get me. He looks back and sees the giants on the skyline. He's like, oh, crap.
Well, no, he was in the fight.
Well, he parked his Megazord on the other side of the mall, and he was driving back right. to get to it. And oh, he saw right, there was right, a sale yeah. at FYE, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't just call the Mega Winger. I have to go get it.
I had to go unlock it. I parked it outside the Dillard's. I don't know where the Dillard's is.
He goes out of Macy's. Oh, I'm on the wrong side.
This is the wrong side.
Wait a minute. I don't remember the movie theater being here. Oh, darn.
Ah, dang. All right. Well, guys, give me a minute. I'm coming. I promise. So during the Zord fight, the first thing that happens is Red and Yellow grab the arms of the Mega Voyager, and then Psycho Black just comes up and just starts murdering it. Just start punching it about the head, neck, and shoulders, and it's pretty great.
See, I don't pay a lot of attention to how the Zord fights go because I don't really have like the vocabulary for it. I don't watch a lot of wrestling because we don't have TV here. I have to catch it on the odd Monday that I go to my boyfriend's parents' house and watch it with his dad. So I don't have that whole vocabulary, so I can't really figure out how to describe it. I did notice that it seemed like they were using the Japanese footage and the Japanese score for this fight. And the music did not fit.
I didn't notice the music.
It was downright cheerful.
Well, I mean, for the Psychos, they were having a great time.
Yeah.
But like, you know, coming in with the Zords showing up, it was like, it wasn't triumphant, it was happy. And it was such a weird, like, jarring musical choice.
That is weird. See, I don't pay attention to music a lot of the time. I didn't even notice. So I didn't even notice it. I might go back and listen to that just to see it.
Yeah, it like you could almost imagine that music being played on a calliope.
So after they, like, you know, punch the guts out of the Mega Voyager for a little while, Zane finally shows up. And then he's like, hey, I called the Delta Megazord too, because that's what took me so long, is I had to find a payphone.
Had to go wake him up.
Got to go wake Delta up. So Delta Megazord shows up. At some point, Zane did a flyby before he landed. You guys
know
how the
Megazord
goes
by
now. Yeah,
and he says, it's time to put this creep show to an end. And Andros responds, I couldn't have said it better. Really, Andros? Really? You couldn't do better than put this creep show to an end?
That's pretty sad.
You remember earlier when all the Power Rangers just did their power roll call, and then Zane just stands in front of them and hogs whole camera.
He stepped in front of them, and the camera did the, oh, he grew, but he was just on the ground. They were like, look at how impressive Silver is. Like,
and he has to say no more clowning around because we want to remember the clown bit.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
That's the takeaway from this.
Maybe that's the whole reason that Andros does that, like, that forehead furrow of sincerity, is because he can't come up with one-liners, and he's maybe trying to have a thing.
I mean, he doesn't even know what a garage is, so, you know, he doesn't have the one-liner in him, like Zane does, I guess. Zanes aren't good. He could stand to watch a couple more Arnold Schwarzenegger movies to get, like, some examples of good ones.
Ice to meet you.
He's dead tired from, what is that? Commando? I don't remember. He kills someone on a plane, and then he's like, oh, you'll have to excuse my friend. He's dead tired.
Or he shoots a steam pipe through a guy. Says, why don't you let off some steam?
Yeah, it's great. Even all of his ones in, like, Ice to Meet You, all of those are,
not all of them.
They're bad puns.
There's one that's not
pretty good.
There's one that's just straight up awful.
What killed the dinosaurs?
What killed the dinosaurs?
That's my favorite one.
That is a bad one.
let's kick some ice. That's my favorite
work.
One.
No, I mean, they're on skates. So
well, you freeze them and then you kick them.
So the Power Rangers get into, like, they line up against, they also could have called down Astro Megazord to, like, give them some sort of advantage, but they decided against it this time. So there's the three Megazords lined up
there, and knowing how this all turned out, that would have been real bad.
Well, at least that one can just fly away real quick, right? Like,
ideally.
Yeah, you hope. So they unleash all of their, like, shoot finishers on the Psychos, and they die, and they're like, yeah, we did it. Oh, that was great. And then it just, like there's a giant rock, like fist,
just like
rope.
Goes out of the dust,
and just like, no, you didn't, and just like
that is not the monster you would expect to have a tentacle, and yet here we are.
No, absolutely not. It was like a rock snake, that it, but its arm. It was very weird.
He's got onyxes. For
yeah,
arms.
He's got. Pokemon was very hot in 1998.
That
so.
Is true.
Okay, but this was 1997 when the Sentai footage was made.
Pokemon was very hot in Japan in 1997.
There we go. So then the other two come back and they start beating up the other Zords. And they, I guess the Power Rangers just panicked because they thought they won. So they were like, ah, good. Our adrenaline's gone now. And then they got jumped. They're like, ah. Because they get, because Psycho Black gets the Mega Voyager in a chokehold, which, you know, is not effective on a robot, but like,
it's still like incapacitating.
Yeah. And then a giant vortex opens behind him.
Uh huh.
Well, he's trying to pull a Psycho Yellow, but on a massive scale.
Yeah, I guess. I didn't think of it that way. And that's actually pretty cool. So he's dragging him back, and they're like, we got to get out of here, Andros. We got to go. And Andros' like, no, we can put all the power in all the places. And like, Andros, it's hopeless.
He turns into one of those guys who like restores hot rods for a minute there.
Yeah, I can fix it.
Where, like his ride is more important than his life.
Yeah, like captain,
well, I saw it,
don't
yeah,
go down with this ship.
That's what I saw it as, is just the captain refusing to get off his ship. So Carlos takes matters into his own hands and karate chops him in the neck,
yeah,
and drags
him
off the Mega Voyager.
It's so good. and then
TJ should have been the Black Ranger, just saying.
Absolutely.
I was just thinking that should have been TJ.
That is right? Absolutely a TJ
like,
move.
TJ has been dadding so hard for like the past three episodes.
It's just like a little disappointing.
Yeah.
It's like that could have, all these cool moments that Carlos had that were good for Carlos, but they would have been better for TJ.
Because mm-hmm. like I remember really, really liking Carlos after the first time I watched In Space, and now, like, it's not so much his character as he gets all the cool, like, morph scenes.
Yeah, it's just, like, the where they slotted him, he just, you know, lucked out. But, like, yeah, it would have been a real good TJ moment. It's still a cool, really cool Carlos moment. I can't really take it away from him. But, like, I was not – if you were like, hey, what do you think the weirdest thing that's going to happen in this episode? I'd be like, I have no idea. I bet a Power Ranger won't knock out another Power Ranger, though. And I would have been wrong.
You would have been wrong because a clown showed up.
That's true. There was a clown.
I'm not entirely sure if he karate chopped him or Vulcan neck pinched him.
I thought he just hit him in the back of the head with something.
He like judo chopped Austin Powers him in the neck.
Judo chop. So then they jump out, and Andros starts coming to immediately because he's morphed. He's in his, you know, his suit, so he has like that level of protection. Just in time to see the Mega Voyager get sucked into a vortex,
still struggling. No one piloting it, still struggling.
Yeah, that is weird.
Well, at least in Zurenja, the Zords are like sentient living things.
Same thing with Kaku Ranger, but so, I don't think in this season there are. It's that way. So
it would have been like a little more terrifying if the Mega Voyager was just limp, being dragged into this vortex.
Cool. That would have been. It would have been a little.
It would have been
scary.
Unsettling.
Yeah. Then the other psychos are like, oh, we got your Zord. See you later. And they just like warp out.
Yeah, this is the thing I did not remember when I requested this episode. I had no memory that this was the episode where the Mega Voyager got.
I forgot that it got.
Yeah, I also did not remember this. I didn't remember this. I didn't remember Psycho Silver.
Certainly. I remember Psycho Silver. I've been thinking about Psycho Silver for the better part of 20 years at this point. So, but like, yeah, I was like, what? They're just taking it. They just took it. They took the sword. They just like, this is our sword now. See you later.
See, for me, that scene is in last episode when TJ took the blue spray paint. That's like the scene from Power Rangers in Space that stuck with me for the last 20 years.
The first thing I think of when I think of In Space is Astronomus saying, I'm on my side. Like that.
Oh, we're all very different. The first thing I think of is Zane and Astronomus on a date.
that too. I have remembered that bit where he like superimposed his and her pictures on the movie poster.
Yeah.
Like I have remembered that scene for two decades now.
we this is when we cut to Dark Spectre on Space Mountain. and Astronomus there, and she looks like pretty smug, like because she knows, but Dark Spectre for whatever reason, they can't see it. And he's like, my powers are like super gone.
It's a one-way hologram.
Yeah, maybe. He doesn't even know she's there.
Well, she probably looks like really tiny on his screen, and it's like pixelated at that point.
Right.
Right. It's like pulling the...
He never quite figured out how to like change his I can't remember what it's called.
Like his resolution
Thank
settings?
Thank you. I knew it began with an R. Like he's got her on like a 4x8 or a 4x6.
Yeah, she's very small. She's like, that's just like all human facial expressions look the same to me, so I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's like looking at a grasshopper and trying to figure out how it's feeling based on its face.
And so she's like, he's like, yeah, my power is going. You have to find it. And then she's like, oh, I got my best spies on it. They're all over the galaxy. We're getting close. And he's like, well, you better... It's like, finish that sentence, Dark Spectre. You better find them or I'll die at you. Like, that's not going to work. Like,
you better find them or these Skype calls are over.
Yeah. Like,
I will unfriend you.
Yeah. Like, you don't have an exit strategy.
That's not how any of this works.
You don't have the advantage here, buddy. Just because you're a tall lava monster doesn't mean you're always in charge.
But he's used to always being in charge, and so he can't conceive of a world in which he's not.
This is going to be his downfall.
Exactly.
Then we cut to the Rangers frantically searching the entire galaxy. Well, they're searching for the Mega Voyager, and then Cassie's like, it could be in another dimension. And then Carl's like, yeah, or another galaxy. Carlos, one of those is harder to scan for than the other. They're both not easy, but another dimension is like different.
To be fair, though, Power Rangers do have... experience scanning other dimensions, not so much other galaxies. Well, in this season, other galaxies.
Yeah,
they have done.
That is true.
What are you talking about? If you want to go to another dimension, you just use your remote control. Isn't that how it works?
Well, sometimes you got to get two giant pylons and put them at very specific points on Earth, and then for like 10 seconds, they will open up an interdimensional portal.
Yeah, then you get into the Demon Space Face Cage for like a minute and a half.
Just long enough to be like, Jason, we have to go, and casually stroll out while Goldar laughs at you.
Are you sure you don't just like use a super chunky universal remote and open up this like wobbly circle in the air and jump through it?
That's one way. That's another way. I'm more partial to the tuning forks myself, but only because it's very complicated.
I watched 2 seasons of Sliders. I need something to show for it.
I have not seen Sliders in so long that all I know about Sliders is the premise.
John Rhys Davies. It's and worth it if only for John Rhys Davies.
Doesn't Jerry O'Connell's brother replace him at some point?
Yeah.
Jeffrey O'Connell.
Daryl. Dave O'Connell.
Barry and Jerry O'Connell.
All I know is that the first one is called Colin and the second one is called Quinn, and there's like an entertainer / comedian / pundit named Colin Quinn.
Yeah,
that always amused me.
Yeah. So we cut away from the Rangers just bumming about their Zord getting took, and then we cut to the Psycho Rangers who are on the ship already, and Astronema comes up. Is that the order of events?
Yes.
Okay. So Astronema comes up and they're like, hey, the Zord's taken care of. And then she asks the Kliptor like if he hit it. And he's like, yeah, I totally hit it. And they're like, yeah, in the worst place. They'll find it in like 2 seconds. And she's like, uh-huh. That's the plan.
Yeah. And she asks them, like, do you want to destroy the Power Rangers? And I think Black answers like more than anything.
Yeah.
And then they huddle. And the episode ends.
So, Danielle.
Yes?
You're our guest, so you get to pick the best first.
The best is Patricia Jolly's lookout scream.
Yeah, I gotta agree with that. Yeah, that was really good.
I'm gonna go ahead and best just the whole can't speak sequence. I thought the whole thing was pretty great.
Yeah. What's the worst?
Justin Nimmo's clowning.
Yeah.
Clown is bad.
Yeah. Clown no good.
Clown bad. And who is the MVP?
Cassie.
It's Cassie.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely Cassie.
It's Cassie with an honorable mention to Patricia Jolly, who is just like pulling out all the stops in this episode. And it was super duper impressive. Any final thoughts on the episode?
I picked a good one.
You did pick a very good one.
Except for just one real stupid thing.
Hey,
the rest of the episode was very good.
It is still Power Rangers. Also, do you guys think that that was the Pinoctopus suit?
I was just about to say, was that the Pineapple the Clown costume?
I don't know.
Because I can't tell now, clowns apart. I'm now clown blind.
Now that I've had the thought, it might be.
They might have still had it.
Oh God, it was so bad.
It was.
It's like
it
gets to this point in space where you can pinpoint the moments in the script writing where they remember that the show is for 6 year olds.
Yeah, or some executive is like, "Hey, baby this up," and they're like, "Okay, a clown, perfect."
Things are getting just a little too tense. Send a clown out there to lighten the mood.
Justin Nim was like, "Well, do I get any lines for this?" Like, no, just be a clown.
Say clown stuff.
Say whatever clown stuff you want to say. We don't care. Yeah, no, he did not.
I think at one point he went whoop whoop whoop, but I don't know if that's accurate.
In the bloopers, he fell down the little tiny staircase.
He did.
He was literally like just doing his ADR stuff for Zord fights. He's going like, ha yeah. And he does that thing where he jumps up and clicks his heels together.
Yeah. Oh man, what a.
Well, at least he was giving it his all.
He seemed like he was having fun, and I guess that's all I can
still
hope for.
The worst, though.
Well, yes. So, Daniel, thank you very much for coming on. Where can people find you on the internet?
I don't do a lot on the internet, but I've got a Twitter. It's at Pen and Ink. It's PENNIN _ Ink. Beyond that, I have a Tumblr that I don't really update anymore. So pretty much
I know how that goes.
Just Twitter these days. And I'm on Discord.
You're on our Discord,
yes,
too.
Yes, I am.
Yes. So, again, thank you very much for coming on. This is a real fun episode. I had a real fun time.
Yay!
I don't know. I didn't see what the next one was.
Hang on.
Do you have it pulled up still?
It is.
I don't know, my Netflix is on Gem and the Hologram, so.
What's the next Gem episode you're going to watch?
I actually just started the pilot.
Oh, just, okay.
Yeah, season one, episode one, the beginning.
Hey, here's the cool thing about Gem. It gets crazy out the gate. Like, it doesn't, and it stays crazy the whole time.
Yeah, they just started surprise playing at the Battle of the Bands.
It gets buck wild. Anyway, Josh, what's the next episode?
The Enemy Within.
Oh. Again, thank you for coming on. Everybody else, we will see you on Friday for The Enemy Within. But until then,
may the power protect you. Bye.